Well, good morning. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to be going through the B letter of the Hebrew alphabet of Psalm 119. Again, it's an acrostic poem, basically a love poem to the Word of God, the goodness of God. And we're going to be going through verses 9 through 16. And before I read, I want you to just take note that the psalmist asks a question. It's really just setting up this next acrostic poem or this next session. But he asks a question and he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? That's a question that he's asking the very first verses before we read the text. And he asks that question, and then he answers that question in three progressions. And I want you to keep that in mind as we read those three progressions, which we'll be unpacking more. But the first progression is guarding his life by the Word. The second is storing up the Word in his heart. But then the third is meditating on the Word of God. And so let us read the text, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Let us read. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, speak to your people today. May you move through your word into our hearts and renew us in the image of Christ. Work in us, we pray, through the preaching of the word, we pray. And it's in Christ's name. Amen. So again, yes, we start with the three progressions because, again, the psalmist is asking, how can a young person keep their way pure? And he really what he's saying here is the emphasis of this question is it's an assumption that purity is super important, that we should work on it right away. And why is that? Because whatever we do with our minds, whatever we do with our words, whatever we do with our actions, they create a formation of things that will direct our life. For instance, you probably have seen it now in this cold weather and the snow, but it's kind of like when you go through wintertime, if you don't plow your driveway or you don't plow a particular road and you're like, oh, I'll just get to it tomorrow. And tomorrow always tends to be tomorrow. And as you keep driving over that driveway, you keep just driving up and down, and the snow keeps on going. What happens? The snow gets compacted, the snow gets colder, and it just becomes like these big ruts in your driveway. And you can't drive out of that rut. As soon as you're in that rut, you either go forward or you go backward, but you ain't going right or left. Those ruts have formed in that road, and it's got you there. You no longer have freedom to drive outside of those ruts as easy as you once did. Well, in the same way with everybody's life, what you consume, what you spend your time on is going to make a formation. It's going to make ruts in your life, good ruts or bad ruts. And some of you guys are thinking, ruts are always bad. But let's just keep on the mind that we want to form good ruts in our minds. And this is so important for us to understand that the Word of God is a means of grace. It actually works and changes us. It's something that transforms us. It's something that creates formation in our lives so that when the psalmist is opening up, he looks at what is following. And the first thing the psalmist says is, how can one keep his way pure? And his first answer to that question is the first progression of this passage, that is guarding it according to his word. Now, I think that's helpful. First step to a pure life is understanding what is valuable. Because, you see, you don't really guard trash, right? You only guard treasure. That would be a little weird if you're out there beside your trash can with a shotgun being like, don't touch my trash, right? No, you only guard what is treasured. You never guard what is trash. And the psalmist is underlining that the word of God is something precious, and to be guarded is something to be valued. It is something to make sure it's safe because he's guarding the word of God. Look at verses 10. It says, with my whole heart, I seek you. Some of you might remember that animated movie, especially if you have little kids. It's the movie called Inside Out. It's an animation. It's a story about a little girl. But what is cute and pretty clever about it is there's these anthropomorphic people inside this little girl's head. And you have like anger, and he's like red and he's always angry. And you have the person who's joy, and she's like yellow and bright and shiny and sparkly. And then you have the sad person that's blue and kind of like just like, and then you have anxiety, who's just like, just running like crazy. And you have all these people inside this person's head pushing and pulling levers and pushing buttons to get people to be going. Well, in some ways that is kind of like the heart. The scripture says that's kind of how we are driven, that we work and we value, but it's more important than just that we're driven by our emotions, that we guard the heart by the word. And why is that? Because the heart, as the scripture says, is desperately wicked and cannot be trusted. It's again, your heart is where your thinking comes from, as the scriptures talk about. The heart is where your valuing comes from. It's the heart is where you're choosing, your commitments, they all come together. And that's when the emotions respond. That's when the thoughts process. That's when the desires pull. But the heart has the thing that sets the direction of the person. The heart is what decides the matter most. And maybe for some of you guys, you're like, okay, Inside Out, that's a little, I don't know anything about this. Maybe let's put it on more of a mechanical level for some of our people in the congregation. You probably have heard or been on a farm, and you have these old tractors, you know, these Farmalls or these John Deeres, those machines that don't have computers or sensors that are running everything. Well, on those tractors, there's a part called a governor. Right? Now, a governor doesn't plow the field. A governor doesn't provide fuel. It doesn't make the engine powerful per se. But what the governor does is it regulates everything else. The governor controls the engine. It speeds up. It keeps the tractor from over-revving and controls the engine. It speeds up so it doesn't allow it to overload. And when the ground gets hard or heavy, you need to put some more torque in it, the governor opens up, and so the engine will keep on going. But when the load lightens, it pulls things back so the engine doesn't tear up, right? The engine doesn't fall apart. If the governor is working on the engine, the tractor runs steady. But if the governor is broken, everything else kind of goes into chaos. Well, in some way, that's a good picture of our heart. Yes, our emotions are powerful, kind of like Inside Out, but they're not what controls us. Your thoughts are active, your desires have force, but there's nothing governing them, nothing regulating them, and what really ultimately matters. But your life starts to surge or stall, you overcorrect, you overdrift, you wander, it's because the heart is broken, and you must pay attention to it. That's why the psalmist doesn't say, with my emotions I seek you, but he says, but with my whole heart I seek you. He's saying, God, I want the control center of my life oriented towards you. I want what governs my decisions, my reactions, my habits, my direction, all of that to be aimed towards you. And notice what he says right after that. He says, let me not wander from your command. That's a man that knows that his governor can slip, that he needs to pay attention. So guarding your way doesn't start with fixing your behavior. It's recognizing that you have a problem. And it also takes time and attention and hard work, but it's not completely on you. It starts with guarding what governs you. But it also starts with resting on God's grace to drive you and to guard you. That's why he says, with my whole heart, I seek you. And then he says, and then he asks the Lord, let me not wander from your command. You see, we can be doing in, putting all the work, yet there is this thing, part of life, that we need grace. We need God to carry us through. And therefore, we need to create that posture, not that I'm the special super soldier, the spiritual super soldier that can handle it. But you're like, no, I need to call in the reinforcements for everything. Okay, so the heart is the control center of your life. But the question becomes, how do we really understand what's going on in our lives? Because here's the problem. Most of us think that we know ourselves quite well. And we can look around ourselves, compare ourselves to others, thinking, yeah, I'm doing all right. Right? We can always find that person. If you really have a confidence problem, just go online and you'll find some person that you can say, see, I'm a lot better than that person, right? But that's not how we actually deal with our problems. No, because when we measure ourselves under normal lighting, imagine yourself walking into a workshop, right? You're walking into a workshop or a basement, you're moving around just fine, you don't trip on anything, you don't bump into much, you're thinking, oh, my eyesight is doing really good. Everything feels manageable, right? And then someone flips on those big shop lights. You know those shop lights, when they flip them on, you're like, it's like it's super bright, and then your eyes start to adjust. And then all of a sudden, everything that you thought you saw really well, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's grease on the walls. And then you're like, there's dust in the corner. And oh man, that project I didn't work on. And everything becomes more illuminated. Well, that's the kind of light that fills the room, that you start to see, oh, my eyes weren't as strong anymore until the light actually opened up things. And here's the thing, the brighter the light, the more you can see around you. And we don't just start with thinking with our emotions or our desires first, but what we need to do is start not staring at us or staring at others, but just like that shop light, we need to start looking at God. That's ultimately when we want to start engaging the heart, we start looking at God and then we look at ourselves. Because God is the one that actually reveals to us as we read its word, as we meditate on his word, God is slowly turning on the light in our heart and saying, hey, you see this corner over here that you thought was really good? Yeah, you probably need to sweep that up. Oh, you see this corner, this wall over here? Yeah, it's a mess. You need to clean that up. That is how we work with God. It's not us saying, hey, God, I got my suit on, I'm at church, everything's fine, and you keep the lights off. No, that's not going to make you grow. What's going to make you grow is you get to God's word and you say, Lord, light up the corners of my heart that I don't want anyone else to see. See, we look at God, and it's primarily through looking through him that it's through looking through the words of God that brings us actually to God. You see, the Bible is not our salvation, but it points to our salvation. The Bible isn't God, but it points to the means and the ends of God. That's why the psalmist says, with my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Because when he sees God, he sees his holiness, he sees his goodness, he sees God's mercy, he sees God's truth, and it's because clearly he knows that his heart drifts, and where it hesitates, that's where his loyalty goes. And so he wants to always be fixed upon God through the word. And notice that the light doesn't crush him, it doesn't send him running, but the light, the word of God, drives him to prayer. The word of God drives him towards grace. You see, as we walk in this life, it's about grace. Like the saying, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you were saved, not of selves, but a gift of God, so no man shall boast. That part of our faith is resting in grace, but that goal isn't self-condemnation on your guilt, but the goal is clarity to see where you have failed. You see, we're not saying, well, you know, I'm not perfect as an excuse, but we look at the Word of God and we say, oh, I'm not perfect. but the one who is perfect, who deliver me from my afflictions, who gives me hope and security in my future. He shows me everything that's wrong with me, yet he does not push me away. Yet he does not look at me with disdain. See, the Word of God is supposed to reveal to you where you are messed up on. But the Word of God also shows you a God that is loving, that walks with you and changes you throughout the days and years coming ahead. And so we finished our first progression, or our first answer. How does a young man maintain a pure life? It's by guarding himself by the Word. But the second thing that the psalmist talks about is making good formation in life, is that he stores up the Word of God. Look at verses 11 through 14. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. You see, the psalmist who is guarding the word of God because he sees it to be valuable, but what it brings him to his next action is that he doesn't just see it to be valuable, but he gathers it up. He brings it to himself. He stores up the word of God, and it can be translated, this word store, it could be translated as treasured or hidden. That these words, treasure, hidden, store, it kind of reminds me, you're going to start getting this theme of winter because we're going through winter, but it reminds me of squirrels that are gathering their nuts for winter, right? They're storing up, they're packing everything tight. And why is a squirrel squirreling away their nuts? Say that 10 times fast. Why are they gathering? It's because it's precious to them. It's valuable to them. And because it's precious and value to them, to this world, it gets them through winter. That's why the acorns are so precious to the squirrel, is because without it, they would not survive winter. And what does the psalmist say again? I have stored up your heart, or stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That the psalmist, just like the squirrel who gathers God's word, he lets God's word be stored, treasured in his heart, hidden in his heart, because without God's word, we wouldn't have salvation. Again, the Bible doesn't save you, but it points to the one that saves you. The word of God is a means to your holiness and to your sanctification. That we wouldn't know a better way of life without the word of God. We would not be in this room. We would not have known true salvation, true hope, true peace, because God's word points all those things towards Christ. And just like that squirrel that's trying to survive through winter by preparing for it, we too live in a broken and cold, harsh world. And because just like the squirrel as stirs up his acorns and his nuts to sustain him, during springtime until it comes, the word of God sustains the psalmist until he sees God face to face. And so the question is, how can one store up the word of God? Well, the obvious answer is consuming it, but not literally, but in a figurative sense. That we must consume the word of God to make it a priority. We must believe that it's preserving medicine that gets us through this world. Like, if you knew, like, if you had a problem with your heart, right? And your heart, like, you need this medicine. If you don't take this medicine, you're going to die. You know, those types of medicines that you take. And it's like, you don't think, oh, I'm just going to forget. It's not one of those oopsies forget days, right? If you know this medicine, if you don't take it, you're going to die. You're going to make a priority to put it in your life. Well, and in the same way, the psalmist sees the word of God as medicine for his soul, that it helps him and secures his way. And we must make a priority on it, but we must also start consuming it. And so the question is, how do we do it? How do we consume the word of God? Well, very basic, and I just want you to know this, just start reading it. Even if you don't understand it, just read it. Like, the Spirit of God will work through it. And here's another thing. This is another tip. Just listen to the Word of God. Some of you struggle with reading. Reading is very difficult for you. Like, or you get it out and you're like, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna go through two chapters, and all of a sudden you start reading and your brain just goes and you just can't read. Some of us struggle with reading. Well, guess what? For thousands of years, people didn't know how to read. Actually, the whole Old Testament was written after people orally told stories over and over and over again. People would hear stories, they would memorize the stories, and they would tell them. And it wasn't until later on that the Word of God was actually written down. For thousands of years, people would have to go to a priest in the Old Testament on the Sabbath day, and they would read the Bible. And I'm telling you, go to Audible, online, get on your phone. This thing that can cause you a lot of stress in life, this thing can also have multiple Bibles that you can listen to the Old Testament and switch and be like, hey, I want a different voice. Go to the New Testament, listen to a chapter. But you can listen, if you listen to the music, you can listen to scripture. You can listen to scripture in the shower. You can listen to scripture as you're going to work, coming home from work. You can listen to scripture while you're on your lunch break. You see, listen to scripture. There's no shame in listening to scripture. You can't say, oh, I gotta be a super Presbyterian, so I gotta read my devotionals. Another tip to consume God's word is don't force it to be just a daily devotional. Like, yes, you should set time, sit down and say, this is my one-on-one time with the Lord. And maybe that is scripture reading and part of that. But a lot of that spending time with the Lord is through prayer. But one thing that we tend to do very badly is we say, oh, my scripture reading for the day is for a particular time, a particular devotional time. And if I don't meet that window, well, I'll start next week, or I'll start tomorrow. And if you start treating the Word of God not as like, I have to do it at a particular time, you can say, oh, well, I'll listen to God's Word on the way to work. Or, oh, the kids are driving me crazy and I need a little time alone. Maybe for moms, it's locking that door and just putting on your headphones and listening to God's Word for 5 minutes. But let the Word of God, just like that squirrel who is taking in acorns, may you store up the Word of God in your heart. Store up the Word of God as you are riding to work. Store up the Word of God as you're in the bathroom preparing to get ready for the day. But we've gone through our second two progressions, that we are to guard God's Word, that we are to store God's Word. But the third progression that we see here is that we would meditate on God's Word. Look at verses 15 through 16. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your Word. I want you to focus on the actions in, there's four actions in these two verses, and I'll read it again. It says, I will meditate on your precepts, I'll fix my eyes on your ways, I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your Word. That's so wonderful. You see this progression that while the psalmist is meditating, he's part of that meditation is he's memorizing the Word of God. He's meditating on the Word of God. It also gives another action that he fixes his eyes on the Word of God. But then the third verb is out of that fixing and meditating on the Word of God, he starts to delight in God's Word. That he starts to see good things of God around him. And the last thing that he says, he doesn't forget. You see, the psalmist says, I will meditate, I will fix my eyes. You see, the first two things that we do, guarding the Word of God, storing the Word of God, those are all great. But unless we start meditating on God's Word, it's like throwing seed on a hard soil. But meditation is kind of like getting a rototiller. It's moving the ground. It's softening up the ground of your heart so that when you meditate, when you memorize Scripture, it allows that Scripture to burrow deep in your heart so that when there are times and opportunities, the Lord will use that Scripture to speak to you. And again, no one really memorizes Scripture nowadays. It is one of those spiritual disciplines that we don't really talk about because it's kind of like you know it or you don't know it. It's like, oh, yeah, I memorized scripture. And they say, well, it'll give me something. You're like, oh, right? But memorizing scripture is one of the blessed things that you can do. I want to challenge you. In your Bible, look in your Bible, look whatever highlights are in your Bible where you're like, oh, that's my favorite verse. I want you to pick your top 10 favorite Bible verses, and I want you just to commit this year one Bible verse a month to memory. Just take those 10 Bible verses, your favorite Bible verses, and try to just commit them to memory. And guess what? I'm telling you this. If you do that, you're going to start seeing those Bible verses bubble up throughout your day and throughout all your conflicts. You will start seeing those promises become quite clear throughout your life. That memorizing God's word, I promise you, will be a blessing to you in those dark days, because I'm telling you, you will have dark days ahead of you. That there will be days where it is difficult to walk. And again, going back to our illustration in the beginning, that you start forming those ruts in the roads. You know, the ruts in your driveway where you can't get to the right or left. When you start memorizing scripture, you start creating formations in the road, spiritual formations in your heart. And those ruts are either going to direct you to the ways of God, or those ruts are going to direct you to the ways of the world. But I promise you, every one of this person in this room is going to have dark days ahead of them. They're going to have dark days ahead of them. But I promise you, if you guard God's word, if you seek him with all your heart, if you store up his word, if you gather it, if you treasure it, if you meditate on it, if you fix your eyes upon it in those dark days, just like that bright light that was on in your shop where you see everything, the word of God that's stored up in your heart brightens everything and puts things in perspective. That in those dark days, the word of God will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, as the psalmist will later on say. That the word of God will carry you through the dark days of winter. And so the psalmist asks, how does someone create a formation in life? Well, first, again, as we walk through all of our progressions, they guard the word of God. They see it as a priority. Again, you do not guard trash, you guard treasure. You store it up. You start listening to the word of God. You start consuming it. You start wrestling with it. But thirdly, you memorize it, you meditate on it, you let it germinate in your heart. But lastly, the question that we need to ask is, how do we apply this sermon, the psalmist, and how he's talking about the beauty of God's word in our life this week? And I just want you to do two things. They're very simple, and you probably have already gotten them through the sermon. But read God's word, or listen to God's word. Maybe read two chapters a day. Maybe do a chapter in the New Testament and a chapter in the Old Testament. Trust me, maybe you're not ADD like me, but I tend to be. If I read only one book, I'm like, okay, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then you kind of go downhill, right? And you need a little bit of like, okay, something in the New Testament. I'm telling you, just do a chapter in the Old, chapter in the New, so you can get a little bit of flavor out of each one. If you want to do more, do a gospel and a psalm a day. A chapter of the Old Testament, a psalm. Chapter in the New Testament, a gospel. There you go. But listen to audiobook. Don't treat it like it's something you have to do as one and done. But the second thing that I want you to do this week is pick one of those top 10 Bible verses that you love. And I want you to start committing it to memory. Start writing it down. I'll put in more techniques that you can do to help you out with scripture memory and are digging deeper, but just start writing it over and over on a piece of paper. And then you can do a thing called the first letter method, where you take every letter of every word of that verse and you basically write that down on a card. So all you have is the letters, and you can look at the letters, and it'll help you be, oh, that's that word. And you go through it, and you just go through it. And throughout time, you will memorize it. I promise you. I know it sounds hard to memorize Scripture, but I promise you it is worth it in the end. Because again, we're all in this life. We're all in winter, so to speak. As we walk into this life, think of life as winter. There's some great things in winter, right? You get snowmobiling, you got skiing, you got Christmas. There's a lot of great things in winter. But there are also sad, dark days in winter. You got those dark, cold, glummy days where you don't want to get out of the house. Life is just kind of miserable sometimes. You know winter has those, right? Well, that's part of the Christian life. You're going to have some fun, wonderful days, right? And then you're going to have some dark, gloomy days. But you know what? As you treasure the Word of God, as you store it up just as a squirrel stores up acorns, you're going to start formating ruts, spiritual ruts in your heart. So when the dark days come ahead, the Lord will carry you through it. May God bless the meditation of His Word. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before You. We thank You, Father, that You are good, that You are merciful and kind. We ask, Father, that You would just be with us today, that You would help us as we rest in You, that You would shine Your face upon us and give us peace as we go throughout this week, glorifying You. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.